The views expressed in the following program do not necessarily represent those of the staff, management, or owners of WGBB.
And now, Sports Talk 1240.
Welcome in, folks, to Sports Talk 1240. You're with us on Sunday, August 17th, 2014. Big baseball night for you tonight. But on a serious note, to start the show off, because my partner, John Sweeney. John, how you doing?
How's it going, Derek?
All right, John's here. The Waz is here. Sweeney and the Waz with you for 60 minutes before Andrew Joseph takes over.
A lot of baseball talk today.
A lot of baseball talk today. You're going to have fun tonight, folks. But just in terms of hitting the quick hits around the major four sports, I want to start off with the NHL. And my partner's a big Islander fan. And on his behalf and mine, I want to send out the best wishes and prayers for Al Arbor, who is suffering from dementia, according to an interview I heard. Brian Tridey was on the radio within the last couple of weeks, and a couple of articles came out this week. And so, you know, Al's in his 80s.
He's 81 years old right now.
I would say probably one of the more underappreciated coaching figures in New York sports history. Kind of falls in line with the Islanders being almost forgotten by the NHL in terms of greatest teams of all time. But Al Arbor, nonetheless, the second all-time winningest coach in NHL history. And, you know, it's sad that, you know, we all get older, and he's dealing with some tough times right now. But he left his mark on the Coliseum and with that fan base, and he sculpted one of the greatest teams of all time. So our prayers go out to him. And we hope he hangs in there as best as possible.
I have 740 reasons to smile, thanks to Al Arbor.
Right.
For 740 wins as a head coach of the New York Islanders. And he coached 1,500 games. Incredible. Incredible.
Four consecutive cups. He went to the semifinals or better 9 out of 10 years from 1975 to 1984. And listen, 19 consecutive playoff series wins. Which is an NHL record that will probably never be broken.
Never be broken again.
And he's second only to Scotty Bowman, who nobody ever forgets about.
No.
However, unlike Scotty Bowman, Al Arbor has the most wins with one franchise.
740.
With the New York Islanders.
Yes.
But God bless him.
Maybe we could bring some of that magic back for Al.
And let's hope he gets through, you know, and hangs in there as best as possible. Now,
that's a tough disease. Anyway, all right, let's go.
To the NFL. The Jets played a game last night, if that's what you'd like to call it. The only thing I really cared about was the time that the Bengals spent with their quarterback in the game, which wasn't very long, Mr. Sweeney.
No.
But long enough for him to go 8 for 8 passing, throw a touchdown or so, right?
To me, it looked like, I tweeted out that he looked like Joe Montana over there, 8 for 8 through that. Nice touchdown, a nice pass to A.J. Green. It wasn't a touchdown. It was like he ran out of bounds like the 11-yard line or whatever. And he was just on stuff. He didn't miss. Couldn't have asked for anything. Anything less than what he did. He was 8-8. He was fantastic.
Yeah, I can't really say.
But they took him out of the game early, and then the Jets turned it around. The Jets did win, but did they win?
Listen to what you're saying, though, man.
I mean, it was 17-3 at the time, right?
Are you hearing yourself talk?
No.
The Jets turned it around? You're kidding me, right?
Once he came out of the game, they turned it around, so I'm saying.
What does that mean?
Does it mean too much?
They didn't even have their backup quarterback in there.
Didn't mean too much.
The Jets are celebrating when they're picking on a third or fourth string quarterback? Are you kidding me? Here's the negatives I took out of the game. The one negative I took out of the game is the Jets defense building confidence by beating up on a third, fourth string quarterback. That's just great.
What did Dalton play? A little over the first quarter?
He was in the first quarter. It was 17-3. He left the game.
He threw it for 144 with a touchdown. I mean,
yeah,
Geno.
And I don't care about the injuries to Milner. And the other
secondary's in trouble.
You know, McDougal's out. He never played it down in the NFL. Listen, one guy's out that was here last year, and that's what happens? Well, I guess that tells me that you have no depth. Is that what you're telling me?
On a high
note. How's that going to work out in the regular season? Explain that one to me. Andy Dalton's there long enough to do his thing, get his 8 or 10 reps in, and leave. And you know what? We don't even know how many other starters came out at that point. I mean, big deal. It's 17-3. Oh, now,
I don't
and
think
now
Green,
as you
I don't
say,
think
the Jets get back in the game?
Yeah. Well, that's what I'm saying. It doesn't really show too much that they actually took.
Matt Scott? I never heard of Matt Scott before last night. He's the third or fourth string quarterback for that team.
Yeah.
Right? Because Jason Campbell was out. That's their backup, right?
Yeah. Jason Campbell, right?
That was one negative. The other negative was the Jets took a ton of penalties. What's going on?
They played very sloppy.
No discipline whatsoever? What? Nothing?
Very sloppy.
That's a dress rehearsal?
But the running game looked good for us.
So what?
Chris Johnson, as you said last week, what did you think of Chris Johnson? I said I didn't think too much of him, but I did say, without Johnson on this team is going to be the next best thing next to Curtis Martin in the running game that they had. I know you're saying Thomas Jones had a good career. Two games.
He did.
Two seasons.
He had two big seasons for the Jets.
Right.
He did. You can't take that away from him.
He sure did. But I think Johnson's going to pass that. Johnson started to show a little more yesterday. He's moving around 63 yards. He had a couple of bursts.
Yeah, I'm glad he ran.
He started
stepped.
He almost ran that one in.
He's taking penalties one after the other. Oh, God.
Horrible. And they were fighting. Cologne fighting in the beginning.
Well, so what? That is sheer stupidity. What are you fighting for? It's an exhibition game.
This is no discipline.
Oh, what, are they setting the tone? They building?
Yeah. This no discipline. Rex Ryan has no discipline right now with this team.
Are you kidding me? And God only knows
it was a very sloppy game.
How many yards rushing did they have against backup defenders? I don't even know what this defenders coming in and out were. It seemed like they took their starters out early in the game.
You could have turned that game off after the first quarter, and you would have said, that's it. I saw what I had to say. That was it. The secondary was horrible. Like I said, Dalton looked like Joe Montana out there throwing. That he was unstoppable.
I heard you the first two times. Forget about him. He's not on our team. Who cares? The third thing I took out of this that was negative is it's apparent, and painfully so, that there is no quarterback competition.
No.
That they just...
No, it's just Geno's
job. I don't even know what they're doing. Why didn't they just say before training camp that Geno's the starter? And Vic's here to further rehabilitate his image since the dogfight.
That's basically it, though. Vic is the starter.
Come on, man.
I mean, Vic should be, if the Jets want to win, in my prediction, if they play Vic, they're going to win. And I'm going to say this.
They are not
controversy.
They are not having a competition where they're saying the best football player is playing.
Well, you know, hands down.
Listen,
what I agree.
That's what they're telling me. This reminds me of 1992. Okay. Last week we talked to Raul Legre, right? I celebrated that big game he had for the Jets. They made the playoffs. Ken O'Brien, that was his last full season as Jet quarterback. And Dick Steinberg was the GM at the time, and they had drafted Browning Nagel in the second round in the 91 draft, before that 91 season. A lot of Jet fans will only remember the fact that they didn't trade up to get Brett Favre. But that was the same draft when they took Browning Nagel.
Right.
So in 92, I remember from reading or just history research that, you know, Bruce Coslett was the Jet coach. He wasn't a big fan of Ken O'Brien's. As far as our guy went, Ken O'Brien, he had no contract at the time coming into the 92 season. And Dick Steinberg, instead of letting him come into camp and battle and see who was going to be the quarterback, he let him hold out so that Browning Nagel basically won the job by default.
Right.
Now, that's not the same here, but it reminds me of that because they basically said that there's a competition or they're thinking about it, but there is no competition.
Why don't they? I mean, they brought Vic in here.
So, whatever.
Why don't they start
and you know what Browning Nagel did? He had a great first game against the Falcons. I'll never forget it. I was in the police academy at the time, and then his career went totally south. I think he threw, eight touchdowns and 18 picks in his career. By the time the 93 season rolled around, they were giving Ken O'Brien's number to Boomer Esiason
and Boomer.
And trying to bring in a bunch of veterans like they did this year.
Yeah.
So instead of bringing in Vic and Chris Johnson, you know, and whoever else you want to draw up, they were bringing in Boomer Esiason and Leonard Marshall and Ronnie Lott.
I mean, look.
So
I've
seen this all before. Just different actors. I've seen this show, just different actors this time. Well, I can't wait to see how this all unfolds. And the only positive I took out of this game, because we're already 10 minutes into the show, we got to get to baseball.
Yeah.
The only positive I took out of this game was Calvin the Hawk Pryor.
Two big hits.
And several tackles, a fumble recovery.
But
he's the only thing that got me excited about fast-forwarding through that game after I got home from dinner last night. All right? Anything else you want to say about the Jets? I know you're so eager to go over their schedule and tell me what they're going to do.
Real quick.
All right.
But I'm going to say this, though. If Vic starts, which is my fantasy.
Yeah, that's a fantasy, all right.
It's my fantasy. If Vic starts with that running game, with those three running backs, Powell, Johnson, and Ivory, And Vic back there running the ball as well, plus his cannon arm that he still has. I think the Jets are winning, going 10-6. With Geno, on the other hand, it could be another 8-8 season. That's my opinion. But
that's being generous.
That's being generous. But I just wanted to go over it real quick. You want to go over it, the Raiders? They open up against the Raiders.
So what? The Raiders are in
the Raiders
ever
stink.
Since the Raiders lost that Super Bowl.
That's what I'm saying. They got
Tampa.
They win for the Jets.
A complete embarrassment in the NFL.
Win for the Jets. They go to Green Bay.
Can't you do this quicker?
Okay.
This is
loss.
Ridiculous.
All right, here we go. Bears. I think they're going to beat the Bears.
You gave them a loss against the Packers. They're like 8-2 lifetime against the Packers, but they're losing that game. I know.
Well, it's in Lambeau.
All right. They've won out there, by the way.
I know.
All right.
Chicago at home. They're home against Chicago.
Thank God it's not the 85
days. I'm saying the Jets win that game. Detroit, I'm saying they win. I'm saying they lose to San Diego out in San Diego. They lose to Denver at home.
What is this, like Mike and the Mad Dog? That's a loss, that's a win?
Okay.
The way they looked last night, how could you say, listen, okay, they beat the Raiders, lose to Green Bay, lose to Chicago, they probably get lit up through the air by Detroit. They lose in San Diego the way they played defense last night. Denver at home? Moving on the road? Good luck with all that. So they'll beat the Bills.
Before the
lose to Kansas City, Pittsburgh. Lose to the Bills on the road because they always split with them. Then Miami at home, there's their third win. At Minnesota, all right, they stink. I'll give them a road win there. That's four. Tennessee at home, five wins. Because Tennessee will probably be done. Locke will be on the DL at that time. New England at home, that's a loss. And Miami on the road at 5-10, I'll say they win it to go 6-10. That's with Geno at quarterback.
You say 6-10?
With Geno, yeah.
I'll say if Geno starts 8-8, but yeah. I say if Vic starts, they're going to win 10 games in Tennessee.
Vic starts 11-5.
Ooh, okay.
If he's healthy, plays every game, 11-5.
There you go.
Because
like
then you have two of the top 100 rushers of all time in your backfield.
Chris Johnson and Michael Vick. Thank you very much.
How about that? Listen, all-time leading
rusher. You hear that, Rex Ryan? Start Vic.
Did they miss that stat when they looked up these things?
Doesn't he want to win games? Does he want to win?
No, if I want to have fun tonight, that's it. Enough.
Okay.
Forget it. We spent the show last week. We got opening day. Folks, we'll be back with you September 7th, a two-hour show.
And we'll talk
depending
about
on what the Jets do on opening day, we'll have a flurry of feelings
should
and emotions for you. But tonight is all about Major League Baseball. My partner got excited because Johnny Boy came up with a theory. Hey, Waz, last 40 years, let's make a list of the best 10 players in baseball history, regardless of position. And the only guys we exclude, which I suggested, were guys who were convicted of PEDs, admitted PEDs,
which is biased,
or are implicated. So that means even guys like Pudge Rodriguez and Mike Piazza and David Ortiz, they're out.
Clement. No, Piazza.
And the good news is, because we didn't exclude gamblers, that Pete Rose has a chance to make this list.
Piazza was never indicted for...
He was implicated. He's out.
So Bonds, Manny Ramirez,
to me, sweetie,
Clement.
You're a big Met fan.
A-Rod.
If Piazza was not implicated in a serious fashion,
yes,
he'd be in the Hall of Fame already. Okay. That first ballot. Tremendous hitting catcher. Although his catching skills are extremely suspect.
Best
especially
hitting
trying
catcher.
To throw out a runner.
Best hitting catcher, though.
Okay, so those were the guidelines. We're going to get to it, but somebody's on hold. I don't like to keep people on hold. So Rich from Manhattan is on hold with us. Rich, what's going on tonight, buddy?
How's it going, Rich?
How you doing? Listen, little hockey thing before we get to the Jets.
Go right ahead.
Remember before the draft I told you about the local boy from Massapequa?
Yes.
Sonny Milano?
Yes.
Well, he was supposed to go to Boston College. He's told the school he's not going to go.
Okay.
He's going to turn pro. He's got an agent. They're going to negotiate with the Blue Jackets. And he's going to probably won't make the Blue Jackets as an 18-year-old. So his rights are with the Plymouth Whalers of the OHL.
Well, there you go. Breaking news as the show rolls on.
Did he win some Bauer competition for, like, a skills competition with
he
Bauer?
He sent in a video where he was hot-dogging with the puck in the back, you know, in the driveway.
That I saw a little. It was incredible what he was doing. Yeah,
well, you know, all these guys can do it. Remember Gretzky? He had a commercial for 7-Up with his brothers when they were doing that stuff.
Yeah, I do.
Like, about 1981.
Right. You're right, yeah.
But the Jets, Pryor, he's a beast.
That's
the
right.
Hawk. He's the Hawk.
He's amazing what he did yesterday.
Yeah.
But those penalties, you know what those penalties were, the offensive line penalties in the first half? It was almost like a gang war, like, well, you trip me, I'm gonna undercut you. It was like gang revenge. It was stupid. It was no discipline.
It was ridiculous. I didn't care for it at all.
It slowed it down. But look, hey, they won the game. I know it doesn't count, but you know it makes them feel better.
They're 2-0 in the preseason.
That they came from behind.
Oh yeah, did it make you feel better?
2-0 in the preseason, Rich.
Did it make you feel better, Rich?
It didn't really matter if they won or lost.
Rich, I want to ask you this question. When Michael Vick is in there,
come on,
he's not going to be in there.
But when he is in there during the game, I know they bring him in late. Now they brought him in late yesterday. Do you feel that the Jets are a smoother team? Moving the ball instead of when Geno's in there with happy feet running around, not looking around like he doesn't know what's going on?
No.
You don't?
No.
So Cronus, you've been watching football a long time. You were sitting in the end zone when Richard Todd hit Jerome Barkham for a spot in first place back in 81. Let me ask you, what has Geno Smith done to warrant a non-quarterback competition?
I'm asking you. I didn't ask for either of these guys.
I'm not saying, but these are the two guys we have. Do you think that they're handling this right? I mean, it's not a competition. Are you happy about that?
Yeah.
Meaning at full health, which quarterback do you think gives them a better chance to win games?
I don't think they could take Geno Smith out because they invested too much in him, and it might play with his mind if they play Michael Vick.
He might destroy the guy. Kyle is emotional.
Hold on, Rich. He wasn't even supposed to be the starter last year when they drafted him. Sanchez got hurt. He was forced into the starting role. You bring Vick in, a proven leader, a proven winner.
Well, unfortunately, Sanchez isn't with us anymore. He's doing his magic.
But Sanchez was still on this.
He's
Sanchez,
playing great for the Eagles.
If Sanchez was still on this team, he would be the starter of this team right now.
He might be the starter of the Eagles the way Foles is going.
I hope he does start. I hope, you know what,
There's no way the Jets
are doing things right now, if they blow this season and go 6-10, I hope he takes over the Eagles somehow and they make the playoffs and go somewhere. And he improves on his top six quarterback rating in playoff history. That's what I hope to see from Sanchez, because my loyalty means more right now than my love for this team. Which brings me to my last point about loyalty. If I got to read another article about the Jets or fans wanting to bring back Fireman Ed to lead the chant or some other garbage like that, I'm going to throw up, put my head through the TV or something to that extreme. Or maybe I'll have to hunt down the Jets PR guys, because I don't need a Dolphin fan to be the face of the fan base for this team, although it's fitting the way they've been running the show.
Do we really need this drum major group?
No, we don't need them
with their letters and four corners of the building.
We need wins. And I'm not cutting you off, and I'm not saying I want to hang up on you, but we have 20 minutes into the show, and I promised everybody a big baseball show, and we're wasting time on the Jets, who don't deserve any more of our time. They'll be
Johnny
coming in the
Bench.
Second hour.
Johnny now, Bench.
You want to comment on who you think is the best ever?
Right now I'm wearing a Tom Seaver jersey.
Johnny Bench. Tom Seaver.
Johnny Bench is making the list.
Tom Seaver.
Give me a name that you want to try and debate that I wouldn't allow.
One that you probably wouldn't allow?
Yes. We're thinking 10 ball plays of all time
ten,
last 40
from,
years.
From 74
the
to 10
best of the last 40 years.
Pitches included. Pitches and bats.
Fergie Jenkins.
No, he never makes it. You're out of your mind.
He's in the Hall of Fame.
Do you have anything else to offer to this show?
Reggie Jackson.
Reggie Jackson is out.
What about George?
There's no way Reggie Jackson's making the list. Especially after that kid hit three homers in the Little League World Series. Reggie Jackson is definitely out.
That's Mickey Lolich, baby.
No, Mickey Lolich.
All right, Rich, thank you.
We're going to stick to hockey. You have anything good to say about Al Arbor before I hang up on you?
I hope he doesn't suffer.
Me too.
I thank him for everything.
You should.
Especially telling Bill Torrey, when they were debating if it's going to be Bossy or Dwight Foster, we'll go with the home run hitter. I'll teach him how to play defense at the NHL level.
Mike Bossy.
Like the
Rangers passed on him twice in the 77 draft.
That was his greatest contribution to the Islanders franchise, convincing Bill Torrey to go to with Mike Bossy that he could teach him how to play defense.
Like I said before, I have 740 regular season wins to smile about.
Yeah. All right, Richie boy. Thanks for the call. We'll talk to you soon. All right, so now before the break, we got about 7-8 minutes. Let's hit this list.
Let's go.
All right, he said Johnny Bench.
Bench
probably
is on
was
the
only name I really cared that he said.
Bench is on my bubble.
So Johnny Bench is on your bubble.
Johnny Bench.
You don't have him as a definite. Is that what you're saying to me?
I do not have Johnny Bench.
Now, why is that?
I'll tell you why. He has 10 gold gloves. He has 2 MVPs.
Whoa, let's not toss aside like he has 10 gold gloves. He's a catcher.
Right.
The most important position on the baseball.
Of course.
He's got to handle a pitching staff.
But,
and it's not like he had any Hall of Famers on that mound pitching to him.
He won the MVP in 70 and 72. He was also Rookie of the Year. That was not in from 74 on.
Listen.
I'm going from 74 on, my friend.
He said, listen, you can't change midstream. I asked you before the show.
I said I'm not.
If we were making an exception for Siva and Bench, and you said yes, when we make the exception to include them in this, since you're wearing a Tom Siva jersey, we include their career statistics and achievements. Understand? Don't change the rules after we start the show.
74. Bench had 33 homers.
Let me tell you something about Johnny Bench that you don't know. The seasons that he won the MVP, which is very hard for a catcher to win MVP in. I don't even know how many guys have won MVP since 1974 other than him. Okay? I know Pudge Rodriguez won one. Did Piazza ever win an MVP? And they were implicated in steroids anyway. But Johnny Bench, in the 2 seasons that he won the MVP award, led the league in home runs and ribbies. Both of those seasons.
45 and 40. 45 and 77.
1970 and 1972. Let 45 homers, 148. 40 homers, 125. Not even Berra or Campanella led the league in any of those categories when they won one of their 3 MVPs.
Okay. All right. Here we go.
So we're talking about Johnny Bench leading the league in homers and ribbies, winning MVPs along with his gold gloves, all-stars. He went to 13, 14 all-star games.
Johnny Bench.
As a catcher, not only rookie of the year to start his career, and 1976 World Series MVP when they swept the Yankees and he batted like 550.
Johnny Bench is on the list.
Bench is in?
Bench is in.
Bench is in.
Bench
Brian,
is in.
Let's raise up the music for him.
Shining star, Johnny. We're going to make an exception. He's in. He did have tremendous, like you said, 2 MVPs. He won Rookie of the Year. 10 gold gloves is incredible.
He's definitely one of the 10 best of
Johnny,
all time
Johnny
the last
Bench.
40 years. Now, the second guy, who probably would have been my first guy, we went with Johnny Bench because Rich from Manhattan was so nice to call in tonight, so we started with Bench's name. But the first guy on my list, without question, for the best of the last 40 years, would have been Mike Schmidt. Third baseman, Philadelphia Phillies, 1972 to 1989. His entire career, 18 years, Mike Schmidt won 10 gold gloves, 3 MVPs.
Right.
He won 8 home run titles, which is right up there with guys like Babe Ruth. And how about Ralph Kiner, who won a bunch also? He won 4 RBI totals, led the league in walks 4 times, which goes to his on-base percentage, which he led the league 3 times. For a power hitter, that's extreme. He's got a lot of bold print on his career stats. And those 10 gold gloves, you're talking about...
I am
about,
not arguing with you one bit.
Arguably the best combination
of... I will not argue with you.
I would say arguably the best combination of power and defense of all time.
Didn't he get a World Series in 82? He won the MVP to World
in
Series.
In 1980, he was the World Series MVP, yes.
And he was also the MVP of the league.
I didn't even think I needed to toss that
80,
one.
80, 81, 86.
Yeah, eight, back-to-back MVPs in 1980.
8 home run titles. He's
at 81.
548 homers. Plus 10 gold gloves.
Yeah.
Mike Schmidt is number 2 on the list.
He even stole 175 bases with bad knees and all. So Mike Schmidt's in?
Mike Schmidt's in.
Turn it up, Ryan.
Mike Schmidt's in. That was easy.
See, folks? It's easy right now, but it's going to get tough. So we're going to do the 2 other easy ones before the break, because the last part of the show, in addition to whatever calls we take, and remember, as always, the number, 631-888-8811. Call in, give us your thoughts. If we forget a name, help us out. We might need to pull up some stats on a guy we didn't think about. However, number 3 on my list is the Man of Steel, and that is Ricky Henderson.
The best leadoff hitter in baseball of all time.
He's got to be.
I had Henderson as number 1 on my list.
Did you?
You have, yes. Ricky Henderson has the stolen base record of 1406.
He's the only guy to steal over 1,000 bases.
He also has the run record.
Did you hear me?
2295 for the all-time 1990 MVP. He lead-off walks.
Did you hear that one?
Yes.
The only man with over 1,000 steals.
Let me ask you this question. Doesn't he lead...
Single-season record? 130?
Doesn't he hold the record for lead-off home runs as well? I think it's 127.
80 lead-off homers in his career.
Sorry. 80.
That is a record.
Yes.
So now we're going a combination of speed with power. But he won 12 stolen base titles. Nobody comes close.
Nobody.
He led the league in walks 3 times. He led the league in runs scored 5 times. Not much for defense, but he did establish himself as a gold glove at least once. He also won an MVP after the Yankees shipped him back to Oakland because George Steinbrenner was a jackass for the likes of Luis Polonia and Greg Catterall and whatever else they wanted to give us. He went back to Oakland 1990 MVP and led the league in stolen bases with 58 that season. No, 65 actually.
It's incredible. It's a lot of black
balls. 28 homers and 119 runs scored to lead the league also in 1990. Countless all-star appearances, mostly early part of his career. But Ricky Henderson, nobody reminds you of him. There's some poor man's versions of Ricky Henderson out there, most notably a guy like Tim Raines. But Ricky, over 3,000 hits. He almost had 300 home runs, but he had over 500 doubles to go along with his 1,400 steals and, like you said, 2,295 runs scored.
It's a record.
So Ricky's clearly on the list, right?
Yeah, 100%.
Because there's only one man of steel. And in baseball, it's not Superman. It's Ricky Henderson.
Ricky Henderson.
He's on.
Raise
it up, Brian.
Ricky's number 3.
Now, we haven't factored pitches in, but I want to wait till after the break for that. We got 2 minutes before the break. So I don't know if you want to argue about my next guy or if you're going to give in to him. So maybe I'll wait till after the break for him. Is there anybody else? Let's put one pitcher on
there. Let's put one.
That's a no-brainer.
Mariano Rivera.
You want to, because we don't really need to talk. He's current, so we don't need to talk about him that much, right?
Yeah, because, you know, I'll tell you why. A 2.21 ERA, 100 with a 1.0 whip.
Yep.
All-time save leader. No one's done this before. 652. But here's the most impressive thing. In the postseason.
Give his post. Do you have his postseason stats there?
Yeah.
You've got to read them out for people. Come on.
I have 42 of 47 saves with an 8-1 record with a 0.70 ERA, 96 appearances. The best.
Do people understand what a .70 ERA in the postseason means?
With
the guy didn't throw 8 innings. He threw 141 innings. 141 innings. He gave up 11 earned runs. If you can't process that in your small pea brains out there, let me tell you that guys like Goose Gossage probably had like 30 innings and gave up about the same amount of runs. In fact, I think the Goose had like 30 innings in the postseason and gave up 10 runs. Mariano, 141 innings, 11 earned runs. That is unreal. No one will ever come close. He's the best.
He's the best.
One of a kind, and there'll never be another guy like him.
And I will say this. When he gets inducted into the Hall of Fame, Tom Seaver is 98.7, I believe. I think Rivera is going to break that.
He should get 100% in my book.
For the position that he took as a closer, nobody could come close to what he did. Nobody.
Yeah. I agree with
nobody.
You.
Nobody.
We don't even have to go further.
All right,
than that.
So we got 4.
All right, so we got your 4 folks.
And that's
and those
good,
are easy.
Pretty good.
We got
Bench,
30 minutes after
Schmidt,
the break. Remember,
Henderson.
631-888-8811. Give him the first 4, Johnny boy.
888.
No.
Oh, first 4, Johnny Bench, Mike Schmidt, Ricky Henderson, Mariano Rivera, the save leader.
And there you go. You with Sports Talk 1240. Shining stars on the agenda. We'll be back after this.
Sports Radio New York and AM 1240 WPBB are proud to announce the new Sports Talk 1240, along with the launch of a brand new website at sportstalk1240.com. Check out our new site for information about upcoming shows, as well as easy access to past shows, articles, our live studio webcam, and more. Of course, be sure to tune in to Sports Talk 1240 every Sunday night from 8 to 10 p.m. on AM 1240 WGBB, or visit sportstalk1240.com for ways to listen to the live broadcast online or from your iPhone. We're excited about these new changes and hope you will be too.
So you're looking for a great club but don't want to go into Manhattan, or you'd like to find a new restaurant to check out, or you're buying a house here in Long Island and you'd like to find out about a certain area. Wouldn't it be nice if you could find out all the information in just one spot? Well, you can. LongIslandExchange.com. It's all you need to find out all about Long Island. LongIslandExchange.com for hotspots, classifieds, news, and more. LongIslandExchange.com is designed with only the Long Islander in mind. Get the best of Long Island. LongIslandExchange.com. Discover Long Island all over again at LongIslandExchange.com.
If you're trying to quit smoking, dipping, or chewing tobacco, you don't have to do it alone. Nicotine Anonymous is a 12-step program of recovery that meets regularly in your area. There are no dues or fees. The only requirement for membership is a desire to be free of nicotine. For information and meetings near you, call 877-TRY-NIC-A. That's 877-TRY-NICA, or visit nicotine-anonymous.org. Let us share our experience, strength, and hope with you.
You're listening to Sports Talk 1240. Check us out every Sunday night at 8 p.m. right here on AM 1240 WGBB. And visit us online at sportstalk1240.com.
Making simple changes in your everyday travel choices makes a big difference to New York's air quality. Trip chain, use mass transit, rideshare, bike, or walk. Visit cleanairny.org to learn more. Clean Air New York, breathe it in. A public service message brought to you by the New York State Department of Transportation.
And now, back to Sports Talk 1240.
All right, folks, we are back. And the second half hour is going to be better than the first, because now it's going to get pretty tough. The gloves might come off on some of the names we bring up in terms of who we think deserves a shot at this list. We've got four so far. I think we're going to put one more no-brainer up there. This way we're halfway through. So I'm going to nominate Randy Johnson.
Yeah.
Because, you know, some of the other guys that we have at pitcher are a little debatable, but the fact that Nolan Ryan might not make this list, and probably isn't anyway. I mean, he's seven no-hitters, but he never won a Cy Young?
Never.
Never.
Seven no-hitters, that was incredible. But he also has...
All right, well, Randy Johnson won 5 Cy Young awards. He's got a winning percentage of .646, 303 wins, 166 losses. And he didn't play for dominant teams. Wasn't like Seattle was great when he got there. It wasn't like Arizona was a dominant team before he got there, okay? 303, 166, a .646 win percentage. That's unbelievable. He won 4 ERA titles. He led the league in strikeouts 9 times. That's incredible.
His strikeout for 9 innings average was 10.6.
That's disgusting.
So he's averaging 10 strikeouts a game, which is incredible. He has 4,875 strikeouts, second only to Nolan Ryan.
I'll give you a slight negative about him, but Nolan Ryan wasn't great.
He wasn't a likable guy, but he had 300 wins.
I don't like him, period. I could care less about him. But the guy was amazing. Now, here's something interesting about him. He was in the postseason, 7 wins, 9 losses, with a 3.50 ERA, which is obviously nothing special. But in the 2001 World Series against the Yankees, he was 3-0 with a 1.04 ERA, and he won the World Series MVP. And for that alone, to keep the Yankees from tying your Islanders for most consecutive titles in the last 40 years.
You're putting them in for that right there.
Right. Along with Montreal.
I'm not debating this, because
kept the Yankees from getting that fourth title in a row, right?
This is not easy, folks, because we're only putting 10 in.
3-0 in the World Series with a 1.04 ERA, 17 innings, he struck out 19 guys. That alone, or along with those career stats, it's unbelievable, John. I mean, the guy, his numbers
are incredible.
It's too easy. 308 strikeouts, 294. How about this streak of strikeouts? From 1999 to 2002, 364 strikeouts, 347 strikeouts, 372 strikeouts, 334 strikeouts. Four consecutive Cy Youngs. Well, folks, Randy Johnson is a slam dunk.
Slam dunk.
Raise up that body. All right, Johnny boy. Mr. Froyo.
Mr. Froyo.
We got five in the bank and five to go.
And I want you guys to...
We got 25 minutes to figure it out.
Hit us up on Facebook or tweet us what you think if your list is the same as ours.
Call in, folks. Call in. 631-888-8811. Call us. Help us out. We got five spots left. These first five, no-brainers. But we wanted to give you a taste of greatness. And all these guys individually possessed, I mean, greatness. Because they not only did they garner awards, Gold Gloves, Cy Youngs, MVPs, whatever, but the bold print throughout their career with leading the league individually in categories. Just absolutely amazing.
Oh, we got two pitchers and three bats so far. We got, you know, we got Schmidt, we got Ricky Henderson, Johnny
Bench.
We're
probably going to wind up going 6-4 because I don't think we're going to have six hitters. We already got how many? Three?
Three. And now we got to go
back. Right, this guy.
The problem is going to be between Maddox and Steve Colton, but we'll take care of that in a minute.
You know, we got to bring up names.
Yeah.
This one I want to give you because he never won an MVP, but it's probably only because he didn't knock a ton of homers out of the park. So I know you're not going to think of this name right away, but I'm going to tell you why I want to put him there. And it's not because he passed away recently. God rest his soul. But Tony Gwynn, for me, I got to put him on. And I think he definitely deserves it. He led the league in hits seven times. Seven. And he won eight batting titles. I mean, find me another guy in the last 40 years that won eight batting titles. I mean, I think Boggs might have won four or five, but eight? And he batted 394 one year, albeit it was a shorter season because of the strike.
That was a strike, yeah.
But 394 is 394.
Tony Gwynn is 338 lifetime average, 3141, 3,100 hits.
He stole over 300 bases, which is pretty good.
His
he won five Gold Gloves. We got to factor that in. His defense was exceptional.
If you average out.
And he was an all-star, I don't know, what, 14, 15 times at least?
15 out of 20.
I mean, that's pretty
15
good.
Out of 20 years he was an all-star, but that's voting.
That's because the other years he only...
That's fans voting,
less than 100 games the years he didn't make
That's not through his peers.
But
that's,
five Gold Gloves is five Gold Gloves.
That's because he's a likable guy.
Eight batting titles, that's competition.
See, we didn't see Gwynn play because I watched the Mets.
He's on the West
Coast. He was on the West Coast. So I didn't get to see Tony Gwynn play a lot, and God rest his soul. But here's the deal now. The guy averaged 157 hits a season in the 20 years.
He had over 3,000 hits.
Yeah.
Remember what I told you, some of those years that you factor in, he had 38 games played.
He
averaged more than that.
He had five hits in nine games.
Right.
Only guy to do better than that ever was Pete Rose, had 10 hit, five hit games.
Yeah, but Pete Rose played in the most games.
Pete Rose
about 1,000 more games.
He's a compiler, but Pete Rose could possibly be on this
Here's
list.
Here's why Tony Gwynn's going
yet.
In for me. Now, you might not agree, we might have to go on to other names and then decide later, but in the history of this game, Tony Gwynn, in the last 40 years, probably the last 40-plus years, but certainly the period that we're discussing, these last 40 years from 74 till now, Tony Gwynn is the only player in Major League history in the top 20 for career batting average. He sits tied for 18th at 338. The next closest is 11 points behind Wade Boggs and Rod Carew at 327. Those guys are in the 30s, 33 and 34 respectively for Boggs and Carew. That's lifetime batting average. So Mr. Gwynn is the only guy that is in the same class with Lou Gehrig and George Sisler, Willie Keeler, Babe Ruth, Ted Williams, Tris Speaker, Rogers Hornsby, Ty Cobb. Here's the only guy up there. George Brett batted 305.
The only problem I have...
was about 305. Nobody that you can think of Ricky Henderson, any of these guys. Nobody sits up there with those names for career batting average. And everybody says, what is the hardest thing to do in sports? What is the hardest thing to do in sports, John?
Is get us a hit.
Hit a baseball. And he's the only guy up there. And all these other names, these guys played back before Mickey Mantle.
All right, but let me... Let's go down to this.
From like the early 1900s.
But even when he was batting 370, he was getting 218 hits. He was only hitting seven homers. He drove in 54 ribbies.
Yeah, he wasn't a... He wasn't a power guy.
In 20 years, he had 100...
We'll bring all the steroid guys in and give them all the love then.
No.
Right.
In 20 years
in
his career,
homers.
He had 135 homers, and he had 1,138 right. ribbies.
Well, he scored almost 1,400 runs. That's a lot.
And he had 319 steals. I mean, what? I mean, he was a slap hitter. Rod Carew.
He was a slap hitter? He had 543 doubles. What are you talking about, slap hitter? Okay. He's not like...
He's not a power hitter.
He's not. But he smacked
the ball. He played in 2000.
He had over 1,100 ribbies.
2,400 games.
Yeah, 2,400 games.
And he had 135 homers.
He batted 338 for his career.
I want to put him on the burner right now.
All right. Well, but just be aware.
He's there.
When you bring other guys in, I'm going back to that top 20 all-time batting average because there ain't nobody close to that.
He never won an MVP.
Doesn't matter. We're not going by that.
Okay.
You know how voters are. They vote for power. He played a large portion of his career during the steroid era, which was the 90s going forward. Of course he's not going to get an MVP. While everybody else was showing the love for Sammy Sosa.
And Mark
and
McGuire.
And Bonds and McGuire and everybody else. Yeah, no kidding.
All right, here's one that I think is, in my opinion, is kind of, this is going to be number six. Because right now we have Johnny Bench, Mike Schmidt, Ricky Henderson, Mariano Rivera, the save leader, and Randy Johnson. Second list on strikeouts.
Right.
Number six, in my opinion. This is a pretty easy one because this guy's still playing. We're still using this guy because he's playing.
All right.
Is Albert Pujols. Let me just hear me out. 10 straight years with 30 homers, 100 ribbies, and a 300 average. 10 straight years. He's got 515 homers, and he's played this. This is his 14th year.
Yes.
Okay? He's got a 318 lifetime batting average, and he has three MVPs. He has to be in the list. Now, he could be, because he looped into any of that steroid stuff? No.
No, I don't think he's been implicated. Not yet, at least.
Because he's like a Winnie the Pooh kind of guy. He doesn't really have, like, he's got a little belly and everything.
Won an NLCS MVP. He led the league in runs, scored five times. He won two home run titles. He won a batting title.
He's got
Rookie of the Year and three MVPs. I think the most outstanding thing about him is what you started with, the home runs and ribbies. Every year.
And average, 300. For 10 straight years.
The first year he didn't have 100 ribbies was 2011. He had 99 ribbies. So he came one ribby short of making it, what, 12 years in a row?
Yes. Well, he got hurt.
To start his career.
Well, wasn't he hurt 1 year?
The second year with the Angels, he only played 99 games.
The
guy's got 1,500 ribbies.
Listen,
515 homers, 555 doubles, 2,478 hits. See, now we're going to get into a category here where think about that, and the other thing I like about Pujols was he worked on his defense and he did win a couple of Gold Gloves.
He won a Gold Glove.
How many Gold Gloves did he win?
He has one.
One or two?
Two.
I think he won two.
He has a Gold Glove. Yes, he won two Gold Gloves. He won one in 2006.
See, this is where we're going to have to debate. See, I think that between him and Miguel Cabrera and Ken Griffey Jr., we're going to get in a tough spot here. Right? Because now we went over Pujols' numbers.
Well, Pujols got four.
Maybe we need someone to call in for a tiebreaker because Miguel Cabrera, now not only did he win back-to-back MVPs 2012
he's not a 500
and 2013
homers.
Last year, he's younger.
Yeah,
right?
But Pujols, this is four. All right.
He has the same amount of home run titles. He's got two home run titles. He led the league in doubles twice. He has two RBI titles. Pujols only has one. He has three batting average titles. Three years in a row.
And he won the Triple Crown.
3 years in a row, he led the league in batting average, where Pujols only won it once. And he won the Triple Crown. You got to give extremely high marks for a Triple Crown.
Well,
first time since Yastrzemski, who
didn't
win back in 67.
No.
You have to give high marks to Cabrera. Now, he's a defensive liability compared to Pujols,
right.
A little bit.
But 10 straight years of 30 homers, 100 ribbies, and 300 batting average?
Well, now, like you said.
10 straight.
Listen, his first year, he came up as a 20-year-old. All right? He only played 87 games. So 12 homers, 62 ribbies. But you could admit that 87 games, if you prorate those numbers, he's going to have over 100 ribbies, right?
And his next year in 2001,
every year since,
he was fourth on the MVP.
Starting in 2004, 112 ribbies, 116, 114, 119, 127, 103. In 2010, he led the league with 126. Then 105. In 2012, he led with 139. Then 137 last year. He's got 86 ribbies already this year and leads the league in doubles with 40 so far. He's unbelievable.
Unbelievable.
And he won a World Series as a 20-year-old, and he was a big factor, had a big home run in that World Series in beating the Yankees, but he was big against the Cubs. In the NLCS as a 20-year-old, he was 10 for 30, scored 9 runs, had 3 homers and 6 ribbies to keep the Chicago Cubs fans miserable, heading towards what now is 100-plus years without a World Series title.
So you're talking about Miggy, you're talking about.
I'm talking about Miguel Cabrera.
Yeah, Miggy. Okay.
Now, Pujols, he's got a pretty good postseason history, too.
Do what Pujols has done. Right now, I'm saying Pujols is on that
list.
You
think Pujols goes ahead of Cabrera?
He's got the 500 home runs already. He's up to 515. And he's got his fourth. How many years is
postseason batting average?
What is Cabrera's
number? How about this? Pujols has 18 postseason home runs and a .330 batting average.
That's incredible.
So I'm going to agree with you, and we're going to put Pujols on the list as the next player.
Albert Pujols.
Those are great postseason numbers, boys. Two titles with those Cardinals, right? A legend
incredible.
For life.
It's getting close.
So now what do we got?
That was number six.
What do we have? Six guys on the list?
We got Johnny Bench, Mike Schmidt, Ricky Henderson, Mariano Rivera, Randy Johnson,
so we have seven
Albert.
Guys on the list.
10 years in a row. 30, 100, 300 average. Pujols. Hmm. So another good year with his bad feet, but he's a lot better this year.
All right. So where are we at? Six?
Yep.
Wow.
Four more to go.
We only got 12 minutes. Where'd the time go?
Oh, my God.
This is why we gotta
move. All right, here we go. I will induct. Well, this is going to be tough.
Yeah.
We only got 12 minutes left.
Well, let's go. Get to work, kid.
Okay, here we go. Well, we got Call.
What about Griffey Jr.?
630 lifetime home runs,
Ken
MVP
Griffey
in 97.
Now, here's a guy that gets a little tough because he's a little top-heavy. When we talk about Ken Griffey Jr., we're talking about a guy who's completely dominant. In the 90s, I mean, you're talking.
Well, I will say this about Griffey.
From 1990.
When he turned 30, he only averaged 145 games a year.
From 1990.
Because his injuries.
Yeah, I understand.
But he still had 630 home runs and he was injured.
Well, he hung around. So after 1999, he had 40 homers.
He did.
One other time. He had 30 homers two other times. But from 1990 to 1999, it almost would be like the way you're talking about Albert Pujols. That's why it gets very tough. See, I'm looking at a guy whose career is over, and Pujols is still going.
That's just what's
like
amazing about Pujols.
All right? So now, hold
Pujols
on.
Pujols is going to end up with 600 homers.
I'm just saying, he hasn't done anything in terms of the rest of his career yet. But you focused on his first 10 years or so.
Which is incredible,
so now,
10 years.
From 1990 to 1999, Griffey obviously won an MVP. In 1997, where
yes.
He led the league in home runs with 56 and ribbies with 147, and also led the league in runs with 125. That was 1997. But from 1990 to 1999, he won a gold glove every single season.
Yes.
An all-star every single season. He had 100 or more ribbies seven times.
Was he have nine?
He won four home run titles, which is pretty good. Four home run titles, nothing to sneeze at. It's not Mike Schmidt who doubled that, but it's pretty. That's pretty.
Ten gold gloves.
Pretty damn good. Back to back 50 plus home run seasons. Never implicated in steroids. That's a big part of why he's in this discussion. But do you understand why I'm saying I have a big problem with him, Cabrera, and Pujols because of the other guys. We're looking at their first 10 years or so, and with Griffey, we're looking at the first 10. And his last 10, which,
well, he was injured.
I understand. But what about these guys? They're going to get older, too. right?
In 2009, Woody Griffey hit 19 homers, 57 ribbies for Seattle.
I don't care. Let's focus on what he did.
Well, what he did is he got 630 homers.
Yeah. All right, so it was 630 homers, 1,836 ribbies, right? Scored over 1,600 runs.
280 average, 284 as a batting average, right.
How was his postseasons? Anything special? Not really?
No.
A few times in there? Six home runs? You know, when he was big time against the Yankees, 95 playoffs when they came back and beat him after trailing 2-0. He batted 391. He was 9 out of 23. Scored 9 runs, hit 5 homers, and drove in 7 runs.
Yes.
They came back and beat the Yankees 3-2. They lost in the ALCS to the Cleveland Indians that year. The rest of his postseason, you know, against Cleveland when he lost, he batted 333, respectable, a homer, 2 ribbies, 7 out of 21. His only other 2 appearances, he did nothing.
I mean, you got to put, look, the Gold Gloves, 10 years in a row, you know, 10 Gold Gloves.
I'm going to say that the Gold Glove separates him because he's another great combination of defense and power.
Is he in?
Good enough?
I put him in.
He's in.
Here we go. We got 7 so far, 3 to go.
3 left.
These are going to be tough.
I think we're going to have to go to a pitcher so that we have time to argue for the last 2 spots.
But I got one on the back.
So okay. Let's bring up Greg Maddux now.
Greg Maddux, okay.
Another guy I'm not a big fan of. But whatever defense is worth for a pitcher, I think he won like 18 of them.
Yeah, and also
15 of them,
he won
whatever it is.
4 consecutive Cy Youngs. In 95, he was 19-2, and he won the World Series. Atlanta won the World Series, not him. But
in 1995.
Yes.
Yeah, Tommy Glavine
but he was 19,
won the World Series MVP.
He was 19-2.
Yes.
He has 3,300 strikeouts for this year, and he won 355 games for his career.
355 and 227 for a .610 win percentage, which is excellent.
Yeah.
He led the league in wins 3 times. He led the league in ERA 4 times. He led the league in complete games 3 times. In shutouts 5 times. Most innings pitched 5 years in a row. Strikeouts never led the league, but he was around a long time, 23 years. So he got the 3,371 strikeouts. And he won 4 consecutive Cy Youngs from 1992 to 1995. And he won Gold Glove. I mean, he was an excellent defensive pitcher.
Excellent defensive
pitcher. Which nobody
pitcher.
Really cares about, I'm sure. But it is a factor. Because if it was that easy, everyone would do it. I know Mike Mussina was pretty good defensively off the mound, too. Postseason might be his only glaring glitch. He was 11-14 lifetime in the postseason, a 3.27 ERA. But he did win the 1 World Series. He was 1-1 in that World Series with a 2.25 ERA. I think the postseason, you know, Atlanta was one of those teams where they went to the World Series countless times and just kept losing. They made the playoffs, 14, 15 years in a row, whatever it was?
Yeah.
And
it's like they were in there every
year. You know, Johnny Smoltz was the guy, despite them losing in the playoffs, he was like 15-4 in his postseason.
Okay, so all right, so we got here's my debate. Carlton or Maddux?
Well,
had 4 Cy Youngs. And he had 329 wins.
All right, so Maddux, we don't want to put in right away.
355. I mean,
well, Carlton led the league in wins 4 times.
Plus, he won the Triple Crown in pitching.
27, 23, 24, and 23 wins in those years where he led the league in wins.
4,000 strikeouts. It's a tough one.
4,100 strikeouts. Led the league in Ks 5 times. Only led the league in ERA once.
Triple Crown in pitching. You know what that is? Wins, ERA, and strikeouts.
Yeah.
So, but he did that before.
Strikeouts. 1972 on the last place team, right?
Well, let's play. Carlton or Maddux? Who are you putting in?
Well, 4 Cy Youngs apiece.
You got to put one in.
And Carlton was 6-6 also in the postseason.
It's between those two. You got to put one in. We got to take one out. It's a shame because we're up to 8, and we got 2 more after this. And then maybe we can put the other one in at 10.
I think we're going to put them both in.
Put Maddux and Carlton in, so that's 8-9.
And Maddux go in.
Okay.
Raise it up, Brian. Twice as loud for 2 guys at once. You got to put them in. Steve Carlton had a great career.
But now here's my debate.
As good as,
with 4
as
minutes
good as
left.
Steve was. Steve Carlton was.
Do I have time for George Brett, my friends? Ladies and gentlemen.
How are you going to get him in?
Okay. How am I going to get him in?
How many guys we got in right now?
Nine.
Oh, we got one spot left.
Johnny Bench, Mike Schmidt, Ricky Henderson, Mariano Rivera, Randy Johnson, Albert Pujols, Ken Griffey Jr., Steve Carlton, and Greg, the defensive
Maddox. So we're going to leave Palmer off it. We're going to leave Pedro Martinez out.
You can't put Pedro in right now on this list, no.
They're out.
Now, Pete Rose.
Steve, are we going to leave out? He might get in.
He might get in.
How about this? If we can't agree on who is between Gwynn and Brett, he might get in.
I'll tell you what. If we can't agree, let's leave it up to the fans to vote.
Okay.
We'll go on Twitter and hit us up on Facebook. But let me give you my spiel for Brett, because I have it all written out, and I can't see how Brett cannot make this list.
Right.
But you wanted Carlton and Maddox. Okay.
Well, they got to make it. Come on. They're guys with dominant pitches. And Maddox did it in a steroid era.
George Brett won a batting title in three different decades.
Yeah, okay, that's
1976,
nice.
1980.
Yeah.
And he batted.
That's just timing.
In 1980, he batted .390 in a full season, not like a Gwynn that went for
a shortened
season.
I've got to say, I was really pulling for him to bat .400. That was exciting.
But Gwynn was a shortened season. George Brett did it in a full season, even though, Yankee fans couldn't stand this guy.
Of course, he was a Yankee killer. Come on.
And
he was on the Royals. They had so many playoff matchups in the 70s.
It went up against each other. In 1990.
In a row. 76, 77, 78. That was a big rivalry then, Yankees. You had to hate Brett. He was the best thing about that team. Who did you like? Freddie Patek? Huh? Was that your guy? Hal McRae? Come on. It was all about George Brett.
All about George Brett.
All right.
Yankee fans hate him. I don't want him on the list. But
he won an MVP, right?
Yeah. 1980.
Batted .390, 24 homers, 118 ribbies.
Incredible. Here you go.
How about this? 665 doubles.
All right, listen to this. One of four. He's only one of four players to bat have 3,000 hits.
Okay.
300 or more homers.
Yep.
Him, Aaron, Mays, and Stan the Man Musial. Four players.
Wow.
And he had a 98.2.
Who were the other three?
Stan the Man Musial.
Yeah.
Willie Mays, Hank, Aaron, and him.
The only guys.
3,000 hits or 300 home runs.
Wow. And also more than 1,300 ribbies, all of them too,
yes,
or no?
Yes. George Brett is the first player to get 3,000 hits, 600 doubles, 100 triples, 1,500 ribbies, and 200 steals.
201 steals.
Nobody's done that.
A .305 career batting average. That's pretty good.
Yeah.
It's not 338, though.
It is Gwynn. Gwynn's better.
You're right. 338 is
it's debatable.
Nobody came even close to that.
It's debatable, but also Brett hit home runs, though.
I know, he had more power. He did have more power.
Of course he did.
But power's not everything. We got power on this list.
And you also have Rose.
Eight batting titles for Tony Gwynn. Listen, George Brett only won one gold glove. Tony Gwynn won five gold gloves.
Listen, we're going to leave it up to you. All right, here, Tom Seaver.
Tom Seaver's out.
Here's who left off the list. Tom Seaver won three signings. Seaver's out, but George Brett.
Pete Rose?
Pete Rose, 4,000.
Should we put Pete Rose on there?
4,256 hits.
Should we show that degenerate a little love?
How about Carl Ripken?
How about this?
No, Carl Ripken, kids, make the list.
Pete Rose led the league in hits 7 times. 8 times. Whatever it was. He's got the all-time record for hits. He won an MVP.
Two
batting titles. Led the league in runs 4 times. I got to say, Gwynn. Folks, we'll let you go.
I say George Brett.
And George Brett.
Tweet and hit us up for Twitter. Hit us up on Facebook on the website.
Most votes by Thursday is the winner of the final spot. And we want to thank you for joining us in this first hour of Sports Talk 1240. But we got another 60 minutes to go, and Andrew Joseph is going to take you through it with a lot of football talk. He'll have an interview with a Daily News writer. I don't have his name in front of me, but he'll get it to you as soon as he takes over. And he'll sprinkle in some baseball. But for us, the 60 minutes is gone.
Don't forget
and
George Brett.
September 7th for a two-hour football.
Let's go, Jets.
It's time again. It's our opening day.
The views expressed in the previous program did not necessarily represent those of the staff, management, or owners of WGBB.